Thank you for coming out on a very wintry day in the middle of a long season of COVID. A lot of things that are going on these days that make it difficult to gather like this. In fact, I think this is the first funeral we've had here in our church auditorium, probably since COVID began back in March of last year. So thank you for being here. I know the family appreciates it very much. And I know that Texie would want us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful salvation which he secured on the cross of Calvary. Texie Brown Owens reached the age of 91, lived on the farm in Hoff River, more or less. Haw River mailing addresses. Those of us, I have a Haw River address too, as those of us who live in Haw River know. It's not really Haw River, but it's Haw River. And she passed away peacefully at her residence on Saturday, February 6, 2021. She was a native of Yadkin County, the wife of the late Morris Bradley, Mike Owens, a retired registered nurse, a member of Beacon Baptist Church who loved working in the nursery. She was indeed well loved by many and known for her kind and caring nature. She enjoyed going to church and gardening and spending time with her animals and crocheting. Survivors. Three daughters, Margaret Fleck of Apex, Patricia, Terry, and husband Don of Wendell. Mary Pamela Owens, would never have known your name was Mary, Pam Owens of Haw River. Son, Timothy Michael Owens, and wife Kim of Cary. Four grandchildren, Elizabeth Faith Owens of Cookeville, Tennessee. Catherine Terry Polera and husband Justin and their son Jonah of Raleigh. Jason Southworth of Apex and John Michael Owens of the U.S. Army. And a sister, Zola Bell, Joe Brown, Davis of Salisbury, and brother, Otho Lonzo Brown, Jr. of Baltimore, Maryland. Texie was preceded in death by her parents, Otho Lonzo Brown and Lois Mabel Allen Brown, one brother, three sisters, and her daughter, Teresa Fay Owens, that we knew as Terry. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, as we gather together today in memory of Texie Owens, we do so with grateful hearts. Her memory fills our hearts with great joy. We also gather together today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him, to praise him, and to honor him for his grace in the life of Texie and in the lives of many others. And I trust, O Lord, by your grace, in the lives of all who are gathered here today. We pray that you will guide and direct in all that is said. We pray that you will comfort hearts with that comfort which comes from your word and comes by the ministry of your Holy Spirit. As we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You should have received a song sheet coming into the service. We're going to be singing two songs during the service today. And the first one is Rock of Ages Cleft for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee. Texie loved the old hymns, and this is one of them. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
scriptures that I will be reading just now were selected by a member of the family as she reflected upon the scriptures that her mother found precious. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That's a good one to meditate on. We generally don't think of death as a precious thing, but God does. For his children, it's a very precious thing. It's the end of our trials and turmoils and battles here in this world, and it is the time when we are ushered into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be forever with him. And so, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint, Texie Owens. The second scripture is in John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. Of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And finally, a few selected scriptures from 1 Corinthians 15, and we will skip around in this chapter. It's all about the resurrection of the body. Wonderful, wonderful portion of God's word. But we read in verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It was a great blessing when God led Texie and Pam to our congregation in 1997. So we have been serving the Lord and worshiping together now for about 24 years. At that time, she lived with her husband Mike in Burlington, North Carolina. But then after Mike passed away, they moved out to the farm. And she was talking about that long before it happened. I remember her talking about that while I visited them in their home in Burlington. Texie was a registered nurse and served people in that capacity. But more than that, she was a faithful wife to her husband until the Lord took him from this world. And she was a faithful and godly mother to her five children. She did her best to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Everybody who knows Texie knows that she was in heart a country gal, and she couldn't wait to get back out to the country, out to the farm, out to the horses and the animals, out to the garden, out where she loved to be. That's who she was. That's who the Lord made her. That's what she wanted to be. Who was it who said, you can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl? That's exactly right. Somebody took the girl to the big city of Burlington for a while, but you couldn't take the country out of the girl. And back she went to that farm. Looked forward to it for a long time. I still remember, after Texie had been here a short while, I don't know how long, could have been a couple of years even, I don't remember exactly, but she came to me one day and she said, I've noticed that our church kitchen doesn't have an ice machine. I said, well, you're right, it doesn't. I hadn't really given it a lot of thought. We just loaded up ice trays and we had a couple of freezers and put them in there, and that's how we managed, but that really wasn't completely satisfactory. And she said, well, I've come into a little extra money. And she said, I don't want anybody to know about this, so you're hearing it for the first time because we haven't mentioned it by her instructions. But she said, I would love to purchase an ice machine for the church. And she did. And we installed that and we used it for a long time. It finally wore out. We had to replace it. That's how long ago it's been. But I probably used that more than anybody else, because every afternoon I make myself iced tea by putting a tea bag in a mug and putting that in the microwave, and then I head over to the fellowship hall and get a pitcher of ice, and I do that faithfully day after day, every afternoon. And there aren't too many days when I fill up that pitcher with ice that I don't remember it was Texie Owens who placed that original ice machine here, and I still think of her when I take the ice out of the replacement one that's there now. But more than anything else, from a human standpoint, that which I remember the most is her sweet disposition. In fact, I told somebody, I don't know that I've ever known anybody who's had a sweeter way about her. Just such a sweet, loving, caring disposition. It was such a blessing to all who knew her. But what is even more important than that is her love for the Lord, her love for the Scriptures, her love for the people of God, the evidence of God's grace that had worked in her life. That's the way she wants to be remembered, and she longs that all of her family and all of her friends join her with the Lord in heaven when your earthly sojourn is done. Thank you. What I have to say this afternoon by way of a message from the Word of God is based on the last hymn that we're going to sing at the conclusion of the service, another one of Texie's favorite hymns, Jesus Paid It All to Him I Owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And I'd like to encourage you to think about the words of that hymn as we work our way quickly through the verses and remind ourselves of the important truths that this hymn writer included in this beloved song. It begins by saying, I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. A reminder that we are weak. We are insufficient in ourselves. We need help. We need divine help. A lot of help. We don't like to think of ourselves that way. We like to think of ourselves as strong and sufficient and independent, but we have to come to understand our weakness before we are in a position to receive God's grace, God's blessings in our lives. Stanza 2 says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Drawing metaphors out of Scripture, the songwriter tells us, number one, that in ourselves we have a stony heart. We don't naturally and easily embrace the truth of our need of salvation, the truth of our sinfulness, the truth of the day of judgment, the day when we stand before God and give an account for what we did with the life that He gave us and what we did with the commandments that He gave us and the way He told us to live. And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have these stony hearts that don't like to consider these things. They push these truths away. But thy power can melt the heart of stone. Thy power can change the leper's spots. Now you think about that. I don't know any earthly power that can erase the spots that are off of the hide, the skin of a spotted leopard. You can't do that. It can't be done. But God can do the impossible. And God can cleanse our stains away, the stains of our sin. God can melt our stony hearts. God can give life to the spiritually dead. God can bring us to a tender place toward His truth and toward the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died that sinners might have life. But it takes God's power to do that. We have to look to Him. The third stanza says, For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. That's good advice. That is the best advice. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb, because, folks, that's the only place they'll be washed. We don't have any merit that will commend us to God. The best that we can do, as the Bible tells us, all of our righteousnesses, not to mention all the things we know are sins, but all of our good things, all of our righteousnesses are in the sight of God as filthy rags. We are in trouble until we come to Christ. And Christ, by His sinless life upon the earth that we should have lived and all failed to do, by His agonizing death upon the cross and paying the judgment for sins for all of those who trust in Him, we can, as it were, wash our stained garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when by his grace we have been to that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners are washed beneath the flood and lose all their guilty stains, when that is true, then we can look forward to this. And when before the throne, stanzas four, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. They tell me that of all the stains you get out of clothes, the hardest ones are the reddish ones. We know that with the red clay around here. It's hard to get that out. You can take some of it out, but you're still left with that bit of orange. It's virtually impossible to get it all out. The black's easier to get out than the red. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, an uncleansable stain that will bring us into judgment before a holy God unless we've been to Calvary. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Well, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for these wonderful truths that have been condensed for us in such a beautiful way in this hymn that we love to sing. And Father, we cling to the truth of the gospel. We cling to the Savior who died for sinners. We acknowledge our sinful condition and our need of cleansing. We cling to the promise that those who trust in him shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life. We cling to that. We rejoice. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you for that great salvation which you have secured in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take your sheet, and we shall sing in closing. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Think about these wonderful words as we stand and sing it together.